7. After dinner, they made for Marin's Paris apartment. He prowled about in the living room, waiting while Marin changed, as Jean Harlow once remarked in an ancient but still potent flick, into something more comfortable. Then he happened onto a device resting on a low imitation tarsal wood table. It was vaguely familiar, and he picked it up, handled it with curiosity. Familiar, and yet utterly strange. The bedroom door was partly open.
"What's this?"
he called. He could see her dim, underwear-clad form as she traveled back and forth between the bed and closet.
"This thing that looks like a human head with no features, the size of a baseball?"
Marin called back cheerfully.
"That's from 202.
"My sketch?"
He stared at the object. Plowshared. This was the product for the retail market derived from the decision of one concomitant on the board.
"What's it do?"
he asked, finding no switches.
"It amuses."
"How?"
Marin appeared in the doorway briefly, wearing nothing.
"Say something to it."
Glancing at her, Lars said, "I'm more amused just looking at you. There's about 3 pounds you've put on."
"Ask," Marin said, "the Orville a question. Old Orville is the rage. People cloister themselves for days with it, doing nothing but asking and getting answers. It replaces religion."
"There is no religion," he said, feeling serious.
His experiences with the hyperdimensional realm had disabused him of any dogmatic or devotional faith. If anyone living was qualified to claim knowledge of the next world, it was he. And as yet, he had discovered no transcendent aspect to it. Marin said,
"Then tell it a joke."
"Can't I just put it back where I found it?"
"You really don't care how they plowshare your items."
"No, that's their business."
However, he tried to think of a joke.
"What has 6 eyes, he said, is headed for entropy, wears a derby hat?"
"Can't you ask it a serious joke?"
Marin said. She returned to the bedroom, resumed dressing.
"Lars, you're polymorphic perverse."
He said.
"In the bad sense, the instinct for self-destruction."
"Better that," he answered, "than the instincts to murder."
Maybe he could ask old Orville that question. He said to the hard, small sphere in his hand,
"Am I making a mistake by feeling sorry for myself, by fighting City Hall, by talking with a Soviet official during my coffee break?"
He waited. Nothing occurred.
"By believing," he said, "that it is time that those who claim to be making machines to kill and maim and lay waste ought to have the ethical integrity to really make machines that kill and maim and lay waste instead of machines that constitute an elaborate pretext to finally bring forth a non-entity, a decadent novelty such as yourself."
Again he waited, but old Orville remained silent.
"It's broken," he called to Marin.
"Give it a second. It's got 14,000 mined parts in it. They have to function in sequence."
"You mean the entire guidance system from 202?
He stared at old Orville with horror. Yes, of course. This sphere was precisely the size and shape of the guidance system of 202. He began thinking of the possibilities. It could solve problems fed to it orally, rather than on punched or iron oxide tape, to a magnitude of 60 constituents. No wonder it was taking its time to answer him. He had activated a prize assembly. Probably in no sketch would he exceed this. And now, here it was, old Orville, a novelty to fill the vacant time and brains of men and women whose jobs had degenerated into repetitious psychomotor activity on a level that a trained pigeon could better perform. God, his worst expectations were fulfilled.
"Lars P.," he thought,
remembering Kafka stories and novels, woke up one morning to discover that somehow overnight he had been transformed into a gigantic, what, cockroach? What am I? He asked old Orville. Forget my previous queries. Just answer that. What have I become? He squeezed the sphere angrily. Now dressed in blue cotton Chinese pajama bottoms, Marin stood at the door of her bedroom, observing him as he fought it out with old Orville.
Lars P. woke up one morning to discover that somehow overnight he had been transformed into a...
She broke off, because in the corner of the living room the TV set had said, Ping! It was turning itself on. A news bulletin was about to be read. Forgetting old Orville, Lars and she turned to face the TV set. He felt his pulse speed up. News bulletins were almost always bad news. The TV screen showed a fixed still, reading News Bulletin. The announcer's voice sounded professionally calm. NASBA, the West Block Space Agency at Cheyenne, Wyoming, announced today that a new satellite, presumably launched by People's China or Freedom for Mankind Cuba, is in orbit at an... Marin turned the set off.
Some news bulletin...
The day I'm waiting for, Lars said, is when a satellite already up launches its own satellite by itself.
They do that now. Don't you read the papers? Don't you read Scientific American? Don't you know anything?
Her scorn was semi-serious, semi-not.
You're an idiot savant, like those cretins who memorize license plates or all the VIT phone numbers in the Los Angeles area, or the zip codes for every population center in North America.
She returned to the bedroom for the top to her pajamas. In Lars' hand, forgotten, old Orville stirred and spoke. It was uncanny. He blinked as its telepathic verbal response croaked at him, its answer to a question he had already forgotten asking.
Mr. Lars?
Yes, he said, hypnotized. Old Orville creakily unwound its long-labored-for results. Toy though it was, old Orville was not facile. Too many components had gone into its makeup for it to be merely glib.
Mr. Lars, you have posed an ontological query. The Indo-European linguistic structure involved defeats a fair analysis. Would you rephrase your question?
After a moment of thought, he said,
No, I wouldn't.
Old Orville was silent, and then it responded,
Mr. Lars, you are a forked radish.
For the life of him, he did not know whether to laugh.
Shakespeare, he said, speaking to Marin, who, now reasonably fully dressed, had joined him, was listening too. It's quoting. Of course. It relies on its enormous data bank. What did you expect, a brand new sonnet? It can only retell what it's been fed. It can only select, not invent.
Genuinely puzzled, Marin said,
I honestly think, Lars, that all kidding aside, you really do not have a technical mind and really do not have any intellectual...
Be quiet, he said. Old Orville had more to offer. Old Orville whined draggingly like a slowed-down disc.
You also asked, what have I become? You have become an outcast, a wanderer, homeless. To paraphrase Wagner...
Richard Wagner? Lars asked. The composer?
And dramatist and poet, old Orville reminded him. In Siegfried, to paraphrase, in order to depict your situation, Ich hab nicht Bruder noch Schwester, meine Mutter.
Finishing, old Orville said,
Ken ich nicht, mein Vater.
Then, its assembly received, integrated, and accepted Marin's remark. It shifted its electronic gears.
The name, Mr. Lars, fooled me. I thought it was Norse. Excuse me, Mr. Lars, I mean to say that, like Parsifal, you are waffenlos, without weapons.
In two senses, figurative and literal, you do not actually make weapons, as your firm officially pretends, and you are waffenlos in another more vital sense, you are defenseless. Like the young Siegfried, before he slays the dragon, drinks its blood and understands the song of the bird, or like Parsifal, before he learns his name from the flower maidens, you are innocent, in perhaps the bad sense.
Not the pure fool, Marin said practically, nodding. I paid 60 postgrads for you. Go ahead and blab.
She went off to get a cigarillo from the package on the coffee table. Ole Orville was chewing over a decision, as if it could decide, rather than, as Marin pointed out, merely select from the data installed in its file banks. Finally, it said,
I know what you want. You face a dilemma. You are in a dilemma now, but you have never articulated it to yourself. Never faced it.
What in hell is it? He demanded, baffled. Ole Orville said, Mr. Lars, you have a terrible fear that one day you will enter your New York office, lie down and enter your trance state, and revive with no sketches to show. In other words, lose your talent.
Except for Marin's faintly asthmatic breathing as she smoked her Garcia y Vega cigarillo, the room was silent.
Gee, Lars said, mollified. He felt like a small, small boy, as if all the years of adulthood had been ripped away.
It was an eerie experience. Because, of course, this toy, this novelty gadget, which was a perversion of the original Mr. Lars Incorporated design, was correct. His fear was a near castration fear, and it never went away.
Ole Orville was ponderously winding up its statement. Your conscious quandary as to the spuriousness of your so-called weapons design is an artificial false issue. It obscures the psychological reality beneath. You know perfectly well, as any sane human would, that there is absolutely no argument for producing genuine weapons, either in West Block or Peep East. Mankind was saved from destruction when the two monoliths secretly met at plenipotentiary level in Fairfax, Iceland, in 1992, to agree on the plow-sharing principle, then openly in 2002, to ratify the protocols.
Enough, Lars said, looking at the object.
Ole Orville shut up. Going to the coffee table, Lars set the object back down, shakily.
And this amuses the Persaps? He asked Marin.
Marin said,
They don't ask deep-type questions. They ask it dumb, gag-type questions.
Well. She eyed him intently.
So all this time, all this talk on your part, this moaning and groaning about God, I'm a fraud, I'm perpetrating a hoax on the poor Persaps, all that hogwash...
She had flushed with indignation.
Was just so much gabble.
Evidently so. Lars agreed, still shaken.
But I didn't know it. I don't see any psychoanalysts. I hate them. They're frauds, too. Sigmund fraud.
He waited hopefully. She did not laugh.
Castration fear, she said. Fear of loss of virility. Lars, you're afraid that because your trans-state sketches are not designs for authentic weapons, you see, darling duck dear, you fear it means that you're impotent.
He did not meet her gaze.
Waffenlos, he said.
That's a polite euphemism.
All euphemisms are polite. That's what it means.
For impotency. I'm not a man. He stared at Marin.
In bed, Marin said. You're 12 men, 14, 20. Just wow.
She gazed at him hopefully to see if that cheered him.
Thanks, he said. But the sense of failure remains.
Perhaps even old Orville hasn't actually penetrated to the root of the matter. Somehow, Peep East is involved. Marin said, Ask old Orville. Once more, picking up the featureless head, Lars said, What is it about Peep East that figures in all this, old Orville? A pause, while the complex electronic system whirred, and then the gadget responded. A blurred, distant shot glossy, too blurred to tell you what you wish to know. At once, Lars knew, and tried to eradicate the thought from his mind, because his mistress and co-worker Marin Fane was standing right there by him, picking up his thoughts in defiance of Western law. Had she gotten it? Or had he cut it off in time, buried it back in his unconscious where it belonged?
Well, well, Marin said thoughtfully. Vilo Topchev.
He said, fatalistically, Yep.
In other words, Marin said,
and the magnitude of her intelligence, the reason for giving her a top-level spot in his organization, manifested itself, unfortunately for him, he thought dismally.
In other words, you see the solution to the virility-sterility-psychosexual weapons design dilemma in the most asinine way possible. In a way, if you are, say, 19 years old.
I'll go see a psychiatrist, he said lamely.
You want a good, clear pic of that goddamn miserable little female communist snake?
Marin's voice was sharp with hate, blame, accusation, fury. Everything muddled, but distinct enough to carry across the room to him and hit hard. He felt the impact fully.
Yep, he said stoically. I'll get one for you. Okay, I will. I mean it. I'll do even better than that. I'll explain to you in simple short words, the kind you can comprehend, how you can get it, because personally I'd prefer on second thought not to involve myself in something so...
She searched for the word, the good solid below-the-belt punch.
So... soggy.
How?
First, face this. Kach will never, never get it for you. If they turned over a blurred shot, they did it on purpose. They could have gotten a better one.
You've lost me.
Kach,
Marin said as if speaking to a child, and one whom she had damn little sympathy with,
is what they like to call disinterested. Strip this of its self-serving nobility and you get at the truth. Kach serves two masters.
Oh, yes, he said, understanding. Us and Peep East.
They have to please everyone and offend no one. They're the Phoenicians of the modern world, the Rothschilds, the Fuggers. From Kach, you can contract for espionage services, but you get a blurred, distant shot of Lilo Topchev.
She sighed. It was so easy, and yet it had to be spelled out to him.
Doesn't that remind you of anything, Lars? Think.
At last he said,
The pic Axel Kaminsky had, of sketch 265. It was inadequate. Oh, darling, you see, you actually see.
And, he said, carefully keeping himself unrattled, Your theory is that it's policy. They deliver enough to keep both blocks buying, but not enough to offend anyone.
Right. Now, Luke.
She seated herself, puffing agitatedly on her cigarillo.
I love you, Lars. I want to keep you as mine, to fuss over and annoy. I adore annoying you because you're so annoyable. But I'm not greedy. Your psychological weak links, as old Orville said, is your fright that you've lost your virility. That makes you like every other male over the age of 30. You're slowing down just a teeny bit and that scares you. You sense the waning of the life force. You're good in bed, but not quite as good as last week or last month or last year. Your blood, your heart, your, well, anyhow, your body knows it. And so your mind knows it. I'll help you.
Then help instead of orating, he said.
You contact this Axel Kaminsky.
He glanced up at her. Her expression showed she meant it. She was nodding soberly.
And, she said, you say Ivan. Call him Ivan. It annoys them. Then he can call you Joe or Yank. But you don't care. Ivan, you say. You want to know detail about item 265. That is correct, Ivan? Okay, comrade from East. I give you detail, and you give me pick of lady weapons fashion designer Miss Topchef. Good pick, in color, maybe even 3D. Maybe, yes, even film sequence. So I can run off with nice soundtrack of voice in evening to fill vacant leisure hours. And maybe if you have stag-type film sequence of hot pelvis twitching in which she...
You think he'll do it?
Yes.
Lars thought. And I head the firm. I employ this woman. Obviously, in another year, and me with psychological problems already. But I have the talent, the psionic ability, so I can stay on top. He felt the insubstantiality of his overall prowess, however, in confrontation with this woman, his mistress. Now that she had proposed, so quaintly phrased, too, the deal with Kaminsky, it all seemed so obvious. And yet, insanely, he would never have conjured it up on his own. Incredible. And it would work.